away.
Welcome back. I'm Mark Gunnery here for the Mark Steiner Show, and it's Wednesday, so we're looking at this week's issue of the City Paper, and I'm here with Reginald Thomas II, photographer and reporter for the City Paper. Reginald, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And Brandon Soderberg, deputy editor and arts editor for the City Paper. And Brandon, welcome back.
Oh, thanks.
So Reginald, you have been working on a photo essay for the following around the Poly basketball team this season, and the first installment of that is in this week's issue. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So I've been following the team since about September, just going with them in their study halls, their individual workouts they have. And just like other team activities they do, like yoga and team building exercises. We recently went to Terrapin Adventures, and they went zip lining and all that good stuff. So it's been pretty good. It's been like pretty cathartic for me, just like going back and like experiencing like having fun with your teammates and just like, you know, being carefree and, you know, just playing the sport that you like to play. So it's been pretty good so far.
And because you played for Poly.
Yeah, my first 2 years, my ninth and 10th grade year, way back when.
Is it good to be back?
It's pretty good. Like I was telling you earlier, just to be in, like, the hallways and, like, just, you know, see some of my old teachers and, like, they've been following the work as well. And they, you know, they're pretty, I guess, proud of me and proud of what I've been doing for the program. And it's pretty good in that sense that the people that I used to interact with, engage with the work as well.
Mm. And why were you interested in following around the team for the season?
When I was in college, I went to Norfolk State University. They didn't let me, like, do what I'm doing now. Mm-hmm. And, I would see, like, you know, like 2-3 in the morning in my dorm room, I would look on Twitter and see that like Poly's winning, you know. So it's like, oh, you know, like it's, you know, such a drastic turnaround in these like few years, and I just wanted to see what, you know, went into that. Mm-hmm. And it's a project that I kind of always wanted to do, no matter whether it was like middle schoolers or high schoolers, you know, college players or NBA or whatever. So
something that's cool about your Instagram feed with these photos is the black and white photos are ones that you take, and the ones that are in color are the ones that the players take. Can you talk about that process for sharing your camera and everything?
Usually, you know, I spend a lot of time with them, and I don't like to have the camera up to my face all the time. I don't know if that's like, you know, the norm or, you know, the, you know, golden rule or whatever the case may be. But sometimes, you know, the players just, you know, want to try it out. Sometimes they ask me, like, what the process is like being a photographer, you know, working at a paper. And sometimes I just let them use the camera, you know, and I get some pretty sincere imagery that they take. You know, I don't think they take it that serious, but, you know, looking at the photos when I get them back on my computer, it's, like, pretty nostalgic, you know.
And when's the next installment coming out?
March. I guess we were thinking that it would come out after the season is over, because the season, this opening game is this
Thursday.
Saturday or Thursday?
Thursday the 7th.
Okay. Yeah, so then the next one was going to sort of capture the year, the season itself, but then playing, not just the preseason. So probably like February, March.
Mm-hmm. Great. Look forward to it. So Brandon, what else is in this week's issue? There's this piece on cash bail. What is that about?
Yeah, so there's a piece written by Ann Kim, who is a writer for the Washington Monthly. And it's kind of a collaboration between us and them, or basically they allowed us to run it as well. They're running it next year. We're running it now because we felt the cash bail conversation is sort of popping up again in Baltimore. And it basically tells the story of a man named Rafiq Shaw, who was basically walking by a drug raid, and got sort of swooped into it. The police, seems like they basically saw another black man on the street and decided that he was part of it. He was taken into the house with the other people that were being raided, and they kept being like, no, he's not with us. It was ignored. Then the police searched his car and allegedly found a gun. And so Rafik goes to jail. Mm-hmm. And he's eventually found not guilty on all of these charges. And I believe he's having it expunged from his record currently. But he's still stuck with this $10,000 bail bill. So it's kind of a story of how, you know, what's the price of freedom, which is the head of the story, the price of freedom. This is a man who wasn't charged with anything, who by all the accounts that we could see, it was very clear he wasn't part of it. He kind of got scooped in. It was a mistake. And then they kept it going. And now he's in, you know, he's down $10,000. And then we also have a piece by me about the police shooting that happened the day after Thanksgiving, kind of an update on that, exploring some of the issues of transparency. You know, the body camera footage was eventually released almost a week later. And for the most part, people seemed fine with the footage. The something that I noted and others noted was that there was almost no gap between the shooting, the tasing and the shooting, which brings up questions of de-escalation, de-escalation techniques.
And you're talking about the shooting in Waverly.
Yeah. The shooting in Waverly. So talk about that. And then also on a day or so after the body camera footage, also announced that an officer was being charged with assault and misconduct, basically for excessive force, after the police did a routine review of his body camera footage. And it was another officer back in September that essentially seemed like a very violent arrest. So it's kind of interesting that the police are at this moment where they're using or employing body camera footage. And I think you can see that as not just a not just hollow rhetoric around transparency, but it still really brings up a lot of questions about de-escalation. Why did this man, the guy in Waverly on the day after Thanksgiving, who was surrounded by police, who had knives, why did he need to be shot? Why didn't he be shot so quickly right after he was tased? Sort of presents a slightly different picture than the police presented.
That's Brandon Soderberg, deputy editor and arts editor for the City Paper. And Reginald Thomas, the second photographer and reporter for the City Paper. And you can check out Reginald Thomas II's Instagram feed, instagram.com/Reginald Thomas, and also pick up this week's issue of the City Paper. And Reginald and Brandon, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our senior producer is Mark Gunnery. Our producer is Imani Spence. Our research producer is Calvin Perry. Our engineer is Andre Melton. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. And send me your thoughts about today's program to talk@steinershow.org. To podcast the Mark Steiner Show and share it with your friends, visit us on the web at steinershow.org or listen to us via your favorite podcasting app. And for your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA, 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care. You mistaken my love, I brought for you for foundation. All that I wanted from you was